AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson back here with you. We're joined now by Larry McDonough. He is an attorney at the Housing Justice Center, as the website is hjcmn.org, as we are going to be talking about what the situation for renters is in Minnesota right now and possibly around the country. Because you might be aware that just a few weeks ago, we had some major changes as we're kind of taking an off-ramp to the eviction moratorium that we, of course, saw during COVID. But that has led to thousands and millions more of Americans nationwide that potentially could be facing evictions from their apartments and their housing situation. So, Larry, really glad to have you talk with me through this, because this is a very, very important topic that I think a lot of people need to hear, especially if you're someone who is behind on your rent. So, Larry, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. It's fun to be back. I was back on the show last year talking to Ellie about similar issues, and things have changed since then, so it's a good time to talk.
Absolutely, and you're referring to, you were a guest on Ellie 2.0 Radio about a year or a year and a half ago, and you can go back and check that out over at am950radio.com. So first question I have for you, Larry, what is the situation right now for renters in Minnesota? Because as I understand it, we had a major change that occurred on September 12th, just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, there have actually been major changes that have been going in stages over the last year and a half. So back on March 23 of 2020, Governor Walz signed an executive order that really stopped most evictions in the pandemic, and that executive order was changed a couple of times over that time period. And you might recall that our death rate and our infection rate a year ago was just really off the charts. And there was a lot of science out there that showed that having evictions slowed down in a pandemic was not only good for the economy, but also good for health and safety. That if you evict one tenant household, it's probably going to combine with another household somewhere else in a pandemic. And that could be in a tent, under a bridge, in a shelter, or doubled up in another house. And so by slowing down evictions, the evidence shows that we saved lives in Minnesota. My own estimate of looking at medical journals from around the country and extrapolating from those models was that in 2020 alone, we probably saved about 2,000 lives, people that otherwise would have died because of that commingling that occurs when you have evictions. So evictions were really on hold pretty dramatically until the end of June this year, and then they have gradually opened up on an eviction transition law in different stages. And the most recent opening was actually October 12. There was an opening on September 12, but then there was another one on October 12. And so for the most part, evictions are kind of the right to file an eviction is where it was before the pandemic, with one important exception, and that's landlords cannot file eviction court cases for non-payment of rent against tenants with a pending state emergency rental assistance application. So for any tenant that's been behind on the rent, they should be applying. If they haven't already, they should apply at Rent Help Minnesota, and I can give you the website on that that we can discuss. But that's the important protection that's out there. Some of the other protections that we had earlier have gone away.
And I want to dive a little bit more into what you were just talking about, how if you at least have a pending application for rental assistance, you at least could be on hold for potentially getting evicted. Because there is some really shocking news that I was reading about, that the vast majority of people who could be eligible for rental assistance, close to 90%, have not yet applied for assistance or are still waiting for a response. Talk a little about why that rate is so low, 90%. That's a pretty surprising number to me.
Yeah, well, the rate is low for several reasons. One, the agency that is handling assistance in Minnesota is the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, and that's not a place that most people know. Its history is essentially a bank for housing programs and construction around the state. So it's kind of operated as a kind of state bank to help in the production of affordable housing. So when in the past, when people got behind on the rent and they maybe needed a little bit of assistance to either stay in their place or to move to a new place, they didn't go to this agency. They went to a county emergency assistance program. And those programs were great for small debts or small relocation, but they had limitations on how much they could spend. And so those agencies were not set up to pay maybe like 6 months of rent or a year's worth of rent or something like that. So when the federal law was passed as part of one of the stimulus packages to support this, it went to state agencies around the country. So the first problem is that most tenants had never even heard of the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. Second problem was that the Housing Finance Agency didn't have a history of running a program like this. Again, its work was more having funding available for someone who wants to construct a subsidized housing project, so a little more like a bank. And so they had to develop their own processes on how to take applications from individuals for an assistance program. The third problem was that there were a lot of kind of do's and don'ts in the federal law that set this up. And that's not a bad thing. And if you want to target money to go to a certain, set of people, then you put a lot of kind of do's and don'ts. So shouldn't go to these people, ought to go to these people. But the more of that you have, the more of a bureaucracy you need to make sure it's going to the right place and that you're not engaging or you're not victimized by someone who might be committing a fraud on the agency to have the money go somewhere else. So whenever you have a program that has a lot of kind of requirements around it, it's harder to administer and slower to administer. So when you put all these things together, we have people not knowing about an agency that's new to this kind of work and an agency that kind of had to figure out how to do it. And so that's not only slowed the applications to the agency, but it's also slowed the agency's response. And then we've also had kind of a gradual shift of guidance from the federal government on how the money ought to be used. And that's not inherently a bad thing. I think it's kind of loosening up some of the restrictions. But in doing so, that kind of makes all these agencies go, okay, wait a minute, we got to double check and make sure we're doing this right with the current guidance that we're getting from the federal government. So just in the same way that some people are a little confused by the federal guidance on health in the pandemic because that shifted, those shifts are not bad shifts, and I think they're actually good shifts based on science. We know more now than we did a year and a half ago. But that shifting of the ground, I think, makes people uneasy. So I think all that's added to low application rates and a slow payment response.
Yeah, that's interesting because I remember reading, I think it was in MinnPost a few weeks ago, how they were talking about a number of advocacy groups that were helping renters and talking about how tough it was to apply for that rental assistance that, of course, is available right now. And I think it is important to point out, as I know you were mentioning, that if you at least have that application on file, you can at least get a hold on an eviction, even if you're not seeing that money right away. Because as I imagine right now, there probably is a pretty big lag time from when you apply and when you actually start seeing that rental assistance go towards, well, paying your rent.
Yep. And one thing I want to make very clear is that having a pending state rental assistance application is not like a monopoly get out of jail free card. I mean, if I'm engaging in conduct that is a material violation of my lease by being, violent or damaging property or, running drugs out of my apartment or something like that, that pending application does not protect me from eviction. It does, so I still have to be lease compliant with the law. But if I am compliant with the law, the only issue the landlord has with me is that I'm behind in the rent, the landlord can't evict me for that reason if I have that pending application. And non-payment of rent historically was always the biggest percentage of eviction cases. Standing alone without any other claims, maybe 60 or 70% of the cases, or if in addition with another claim, some sort of violation of the lease, then we see nonpayment of rent being a part of more like 90% of the eviction cases. So having this protection of a pending state emergency rental assistance application is a really important thing.
So I've not been a part of this process myself, but I'm curious about how this actually works. If it does get to the point where a renter is going to be evicted, what sort of documents or proof does the landlord need to show? And of course, on the renter side too, what do they need to show that, you know, saying, hey, I actually shouldn't be evicted? Or does it even often get to that point? Is there sometimes mediation between landlords and renters? I've always been kind of curious about that, especially, of course, obviously here during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yep. So there's no legal requirement for people to mediate, but mediation has always been a really good option for landlords and tenants. And there's a really nice kind of one-stop location to get connected with mediation programs. It's a group called Community Mediation Minnesota, and their website is communitymediationmn.org. And because there are different mediation programs around the state that kind of have different kind of, you know, turfs, and you can go to this one place and they can find you the mediation service that's in your area. It's always been a good thing for landlords and tenants to do it. I think in the past, maybe some landlords were a little less interested in it because they thought that might slow things down, because we have a very fast eviction process in Minnesota, faster than most states. But evictions are still a little bit expensive, $300 to file it. And if you have to use a number of the court and law enforcement services as part of that, you can get up to over $500. So it's not cheap to do this. So mediation has always been a good way, I think, for landlords and tenants to avoid having to have eviction cases. In the pandemic, I think landlords started to warm up to it more, because under the executive order, they didn't have eviction as a remedy in most cases. It was very limited where a landlord could do an eviction case. They could do it in kind of where the allegations were kind of nasty, like, you know, significant property damage, endangering other people, drugs in the property, things like that. So I always encourage landlords and tenants to engage in that process. And even if that leads to a tenant leaving without a court case, makes it easier for the tenant to find housing down the road. So that's a really kind of good way to go at this point. I think I might have forgotten the other part of your question.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, I think you gave a good overview. Yeah, I was just curious about how that process, yeah, actually works, if it does, well, A, get to the point where it does reach a court case, and then B, you know, if there is mediation instead. Now, I think you did a good job covering that. Go ahead.
Now, I do remember you did ask about what do landlords have to prove and what do tenants have to prove,
yes,
in these kinds of cases. Right. And so, some of the courts are requiring landlords to show that they're in compliance with our eviction transition law. That's not uniform across the state. Different courts have done standing orders on what landlords need to prove in their cases, and others haven't. So if I were advising a landlord, I would say, if you're filing a case for nonpayment of rent, I think you need to determine if a tenant has a pending application for state emergency rental assistance, because you're not supposed to file that case if they have that pending application. So you should talk to the tenant. Now, if the tenant has applied, the landlord probably knows, because the process requires the landlord to verify that the tenant has a debt and for what period of time. But the tenant might be just in the early stages of the application process, and so the landlord might not know that the tenant has started that application. So I think landlords should talk to the tenant and figure that out. On the tenant side of the equation, if the tenant has a pending application, they should have an email from the program saying that they have a pending application. And if the case is for nonpayment of rent, they should bring that to court with them. Another thing that landlords and tenants probably don't know is the CARES Act from a year ago. That's the act of Congress that set up those first expanded unemployment checks and also had an eviction moratorium as part of that. A lot of that act ended, but one part of it that didn't was a requirement that landlords of what are called covered properties have to give a 30-day eviction notice before they file any kind of eviction case for rent or anything else. So then you need to know what is a covered property. Covered properties include kind of two categories. One are properties with federal subsidies, like public housing, different types of subsidized housing by either HUD or the Department of Agriculture. But the other category that would catch people by surprise is that landlords of properties with federally backed mortgages. Now, a lot of people don't know if their mortgage is federally backed. Like, I own a small home in St. Paul. I don't know if my mortgage is federally backed. Now, I don't need to know because I'm not a landlord at the moment. But if I were a landlord, I'd need to know. And a lot of people wouldn't know right away because their mortgage might have shifted hands several times. So a landlord needs to figure out, do they have a federally backed mortgage? Are they a covered property under the CARES Act? If so, they've got to give a 30-day notice before they even consider filing an eviction case. And if a tenant gets an eviction case, they need to figure out if their landlord is a covered property. Now, tenants could go to a legal aid office, those with lower incomes, and they'd be able to figure that out. I actually have some links on my website on how to find out if a property is a covered property. So there still are some complications here for both landlords and tenants in kind of figuring out, do they fit into a particular category of obligation or protection?
And final question for you here, Larry, and this has to do more with your opinion on what's happening right now, since you've obviously been working in housing and with renters for a number of years. Again, we are speaking with Larry McDonough. He's an attorney for the Housing Justice Center. Website is hjcmn.org. I'm curious about your opinion about the off-ramp program we have with Minnesota as we begin to sunset some of the protection renters have. If you could wave a magic wand, I guess, what would your ideal kind of program look for trying to get us on the path to where we no longer need these protections? Are we moving too fast or are we moving too slowly on this? I'm just kind of curious what your opinion is on that.
Yeah. We're moving too fast. And if you would have asked me back in July when the pandemic numbers were not as bad as they are now, I think I wouldn't have felt as strongly about it. I did some lobbying on this law, and I wanted it to be a longer transition than it is. But when you are lobbying, there are agreements that are made, and you have to kind of pick your battles. And so there was a lot of lobbying of the House and Senate committees that were looking at this, and then ultimately they decided what they were going to do. I think that decision was based on pandemic numbers that were looking positive in June. In retrospect, I think it was premature for the governor to give up his peacetime emergency powers. I think we're at a point right now, and the number of deaths yesterday, I think, were maybe 40, 41 or something, and our positivity rate is over 6%. So there are a lot of things going on with the pandemic now that have nothing in common with where they were at in June and have much more in common with last fall and last winter. So I think it is going too fast. If I could wave a wand, I think I would move us backwards to more of the eviction protections that we had under the executive order and the very early stages of this eviction transition law. And who knows, we may get back there. I mean, the legislative session starts in January. You know, we'll see where the numbers are. You know, around the country, the news is that the numbers are going down, but that's not where we are right now. And when you look at the upper Midwest, states like Minnesota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, South Dakota, Montana, our numbers are quite bad, and we're not locked into our houses yet. When we're not locked indoors, when you look at last year, this was the bad time last year, starting this time of year and going into the late winter and early spring. That was the really nasty time for the pandemic. So I'm hoping that the governor and the legislature are able to kind of move us backwards if the numbers stay where they are now in January.
Yeah, you are unfortunately right that it was just about this time last year, kind of that late fall season where the numbers did begin to tick up. So hopefully that's not the case, but I think you might be right that we could be moving a little bit too quickly on this. Larry, a couple more final questions for you, actually. First, I want your contact information over for the Housing Justice Center, and I think it's also important to point out to people who maybe are struggling with their rent right now where they can go to make sure that they can apply for rental assistance if needed, if you can give us that information.
Yeah, so I'll give you a few things here. I have a website of my own that's separate from Housing Justice Center that has a lot of information on housing laws right now, and that's called PovertyLaw.Homestead.com. It's a teaching website that I have, and I have slideshows and manuals and lots of information on what's going on with housing in general and housing in the pandemic. Now, if people are having trouble with evictions, tenants, they should go to, there's a website called Law Help MN, so LAWHELPMN.org. It's a website that's put together by a coalition of legal aid offices around the state, including the one where I used to work. And you can find information on housing law, but other types of other areas of law. And you can find the legal aid office closest to you to get help. Now, if you're looking at issues of applying for the state's Rent Help Minnesota program, the website for that is Rent Help MN, so RENTHELPMN.org. That's the website for making an application. You can also call 211. It has a helpline with a multilingual staff that can help people with those applications. Now, where I work is the Housing Justice Center of Minnesota, and its website is, I think we mentioned it earlier, it is, I've only been there a short time, so I'm still kind of remembering the website. So it's HJC for Housing Justice Center, HJCMN.org. And the last thing I wanted to mention is that at the Housing Justice Center, we have a program to help tenants who have been denied state rental assistance. And they might have been denied because they didn't do the application well. This is, again, complicated stuff, and for a lot of people with low incomes, doing applications online is challenging. So we have a program at the Housing Justice Center to help people with denials, and that help could be either helping them do a new application or helping them with an appeal. If they're doing an appeal, they only have about 10 days to do that, so the time period's pretty short. We have an 800 number at the Housing Justice Center to help people who've been denied state emergency rental assistance, and that number is 800-403-0476. So again, it's 800-403-0476.
Excellent. And we will make sure we get all of that information posted on the description of the interview, which will be over at am950radio.com. So you'll find all of that contact information, the phone numbers, and all of the websites that Larry mentioned over at am950radio.com. Either click on the Matt McNeil Show or the Best of Interviews section, then you'll find the interview that we're doing right now with Larry, and you'll find all of that contact information. Again, we have been speaking with Larry McDonough. He is an attorney. He is with the Housing Justice Center, also an adjunct professor at the University of Minnesota School of Law, talking a little bit about what the situation right now is for renters in Minnesota. Larry, really appreciate the time today. Lots of good information. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy that you're covering this because this is really important information, and we got to get it out there and get more people aware of it. So thank you.